Thanks for listening to another episode of Project Zion. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts the Restoration offers for today's world. Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Mangelson, and today we have on Apostle Ron Harmon, who is going to talk to us about LCM. So, hello, Ron. Thanks for being on the show today.
Hi, Brittany. It's great to be on.
So, well, first of all, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Where are you? What's your assignment in the church? What's your field? That kind of thing, for those who don't know.
Sure. Well, currently I am serving as the apostle for the Western field in the United States. And that includes a good portion of the Western United States, but not all of the Western United States. Apostle Robin Linkart and I kind of have split that up a little bit because of some of the work that she is doing in the field. And I also have had the privilege to be the team lead for leading congregations in mission. And that's been, gosh, a 6-year endeavor at this point. And I also serve as the USA team lead for the USA Apostles and Presidents of 70. And finally, I also serve right now as the Mission Center President for the Pacific Southwest International Mission Center, which is clear in the southwest of the United States, includes kind of central Southern California, Nevada, and part of Southern Utah. So that's what I do during the day and evening and whatever time I can squeeze in.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't sound busy at all. I mean,
no.
What else?
No, I was actually looking for a few extra projects. So,
yeah. If I hear of anything, I'll send it your way.
All right.
So, yeah, we're going to talk today about leading congregations in mission. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this, and I've wanted to have you on for a while now, I think that for those of you who don't know, and I'll let Ron describe it a little bit better. But from my perspective, they are excellent resources for leadership and team building for congregations. And LCM has a great series of videos that they've put out. And they were recently part of the GoFund Mission campaign, so we can hopefully expect more from LCM. And I'm just really super impressed with everything that I've seen that has come out of LCM. And so I wanted to hear a little bit about the background and the history and the purpose and the mission of the program. So that's what we're going to talk to Ron about today. So Ron, let's just start at the beginning. Where and when did LCM start, and what kind of missional need was it fulfilling, and what was it, I guess, birthed out of?
Sure. Well, LCM actually started as an initiative in the Northeast field. When I was first called into the 12 back in 2005 and started working with leaders in that field, and particularly started working with Larry McGuire. And Larry McGuire is a 70 in the church. And the two of us started spending a lot of time looking at the church in the U.S., also kind of the broader Western world, and really asking ourselves the question, what is it that's causing the decline, not just in terms of Community of Christ, but other mainline denominations in the United States? And is there some kind of a model or approach that would particularly fit, you know, Community of Christ context that would help us to re-envision congregational life specifically, and also to experiment with some new ways to be the church in the places where we serve, to, in the words of section 162.2e, to be able to express essential truths in new language and form. So we both felt very strongly about our mission and our focus and what we were about, but we also recognized that some of the language and form of the institutional church was not speaking to many people who have walked away from the church in recent decades. So that was kind of the impetus for leading congregations and mission. And we just started experimenting in the Northeast field. We were reading books. We were getting together and exploring concepts and ideas. I remember one time we went up to Vancouver, British Columbia, and we met with a guy by the name of Alan Roxborough, who is the author of the book, The Missional Leader, which was very influential in some of our thinking early on and really has still been a foundational resource for us, and actually invited him to some field meetings where he explored some ideas with us. And so we decided, hey, let's start experimenting with some of these ideas and concepts. And so both Larry and I actually started working with some congregations and said, hey, you want to go on a journey? We don't know exactly where it's going to end up or how it will unfold, but it's all about exploring what it means to be God's people in this time and in this place.
And so how did the team grow? If you and Larry were kind of the forerunners in it, what was that like growing the program, figuring out exactly what direction you were going to go? Because I know that there is a broad variety of resources, and some of the videos that I've seen, the round tables, they include people that are in addition to just you and Larry. So talk about that. How did it grow to what it is today?
Yeah. So the next part of the story is that out of the kind of experimentation that we did in the Northeast field, we obviously learned a lot. And after the Co-Mission Pastor Initiative project, which was Community of Christ's really first serious attempt at trying to provide an educational formational experience for pastors, the funder of that initiative came back to the church and said, I'd like to see this somehow be continued or expanded in the life of the church. And about that time, President Veazey and I had a conversation about some possibilities. I talked a little bit about what we had done in the Northeast field. And of course, President Veazey was familiar with that work. And we decided to move into a little different direction. So not just training leaders, but also really taking a really deep look at what is the nature and mission of the church. How does mission get expressed in the world today in relevant ways? Because it doesn't really do a lot of good to have great leadership skills if you're leading out of the wrong paradigm. And so as a result of those conversations back and forth and refining the direction that we wanted to go, leading congregations and mission was birthed. It also happened to be my thesis project for seminary, was taking a lot of the work that we had done in the Northeast field, and that ended up developing into my final thesis project for seminary. So a lot of things kind of converged. At one time, we had a team put together at that time. Dave Shaw was a part of that, who was in the presidency. And we had a number of people from headquarters. And what ended up kind of unfolding was a small kind of what I would call agile team. And we've been able to respond to the feedback we've gotten from the field as we've continued to roll out retreats and resources, and have been able to kind of really frankly take each step as we go and experiment and learn from it. And that's influenced resources and topics at retreats. And that's the whole thing really has been kind of one grand experiment. We hired Rob Burkowski, who served as the leading congregations and mission coordinator, and his role has been absolutely essential. Tom Mountainay joined our team, and he was a critical part of that team. And really kind of Rob, Tom, and I formed the core team of LCM, and then we drew people in as we needed to. So folks like Michelle McGrath and Larry McGuire and Matt Frizzell and Scott Giles and other people from across the U.S. The U.S. Apostles became involved. Stacy Cram was very involved in providing leadership in her field, and Linda Booth and others. So as we got started with this, it really started to catch on and people got involved. We invited Mission Center presidents into the process across the U.S. And as a result of that, we had 80 congregations just in the U.S. that participated in the initial rollout of leading congregations in mission. And we were training at that time pastor leadership teams and congregational support ministers. We had a total of, I think, almost 650 people that were kind of progressing through the LCM experiment.
It sounds like the ball really got rolling with it, that it started out as basically an idea. And I like that you said that it was your seminary thesis, because it shows that seminary matters. These things matter, that they can actually become tangible resources that we can use in church and congregation life. So you said that you learned a lot along the way. I guess my question would be, what were things that surprised you in the rollout of the program? I mean, what was your feedback like? How did you figure out what to leave behind and what to pull forward as you were moving forward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of it was, doing a lot of listening, meeting, doing some traveling out in the field, meeting with pastor leadership teams. One of the elements of leading congregations in mission that was a key design element was we were very intentional about wanting to train pastor leadership teams and not just individual pastors. Because if you train a pastor leadership team and they go back with a new paradigm of leadership and mission, you've immediately planted the seeds of culture change in a congregation. And so we were listening very carefully to those pastor leadership teams. We had surveys at the end of every retreat. We were processing those surveys, taking that all very, you know, seriously in terms of the continued design. So we had an overall blueprint that I had developed for leading congregations in mission that included, you know, 7 retreats and basically what the topics would be. And the retreats were, you know, not just looking at leadership in terms of skills of leadership, but they were also heavily focused on really exploring what incarnational mission is really about and how that gets lived out in community and in neighborhoods. So that was a really significant focus of LCM. And we were using, you know, creative ways to do that through the videos, through different types of exercises. We introduced a term called missional practices, which are really pretty much the same thing as spiritual practices. But we used the term missional so that it would be clear that there's a strong connection, actually an inextricable link, between spirit and mission or contemplation and action. And so a lot of these concepts, even meeting together as a pastor leadership team and making decisions as a team, developing consensus as a team, a lot of these things I thought, I just wasn't sure, you know, would these be concepts that would be new? Would people be like, gosh, this is basic. Why are we spending time on this? What I discovered was much of this material was new to folks. And anytime you're introducing new ideas and concepts, it takes a while for things to catch on. And so each retreat, we kind of kept coming at it from different angles and we introduced different types of practices. that people could engage in. We did different types of videos. Like, as you said, some were roundtable videos, but we also did concept videos, little mini drama videos that, you know, try to convey certain concepts and ideas about the nature of mission and leadership. And so as we, you know, each one of those iterations unfolded, we learned about how do people respond, what resources are they using, what ones are they not using, what went well in the retreat. For example, we learned early on that we were trying to put too much into the retreats, and we started to spread out the retreats and have more space and time for processing. The other thing that I really learned looking back on the 3 years is that you cannot assume that when you lay out these concepts and ideas that everybody is going to be able to kind of connect the dots in terms of how everything fits together. And it has nothing to do with the intelligence level or the level of engagement or interest of folks. The reality is that everybody is just so busy, you know, in our modern world, that the more that we could lay out very specific, tangible next steps in terms of, okay, we've introduced this concept, but now what does this look like when it gets lived out in discipleship? What does this look like when it gets lived out in congregational life? I came to understand that we could not be explicit enough about that. We couldn't go overboard. The more specificity we could provide, the more helpful for people to be able to envision this is how this concept or idea gets tangibly expressed.
Because it's a new way to think about church, it sounds like, and spirituality and mission, and they're all interconnected. So it would make sense that people would want concrete, how is this applicable in my congregation? Did you have something to say?
Well, yeah, no, I do, because actually you really hit it right in the center of the issue. And it's, you know, I think a number of people went into LCM thinking that it was about how to fix my church or how to fix my congregation or how to make it more effective. And it's not that, you know, we're not always about that, but actually the focus of LCM is the idea that God's Spirit is always seeking to emerge in some of the most unexpected places, and that mission is happening before we ever arrive on the scene. Our own Doctrine and Covenants passages, section 153, you know, my Spirit is reaching out to numerous souls even now, and there are many who will respond. The idea that God's Spirit is on the move, and that one of our challenges as disciples today is to, in a sense, awaken our spiritual senses to discern where God is moving, and then join in on that, join in God's movement into our neighborhoods. And that involves a totally different kind of engagement. That's not about stepping back and, you know, doing demographic analysis on neighborhoods and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, some kind of a program to meet some kind of a niche. That's actually about engaging in people's lives. It's about sitting down and hearing their stories. It's about creating receptive and relational space for some of the deepest longings that people have and some of their questions. Frankly, ideas and thoughts that have never found expression for the first time are given voice because we are that invitational presence of Christ in the midst of people's lives. And we don't know how it's going to unfold. That's the beauty of it. But the reality is that God's Spirit is stirring and moving out there in the lives of people. And really all we have to do is show up and be attentive to what God is doing and then allow those experiences to shape what our congregational response and response as disciples is to those specific needs that unfold as we engage in the lives of people. And that is a totally different approach than we're going to strategically plan over here exactly what our church, you know, needs to do and be, and hopefully that's going to fit with this community. So it caused us to step back and to say, okay, we're a church that says we believe in continuing revelation. We're a church that says we believe God is active and present in the world today. Well, do we actually behave as disciples and congregations like we believe it? And of course, you know, one of the principles of LCM is mission is disruptive, that God's purposes are continuing to unfold. And if God is moving in the world, then it only stands to reason that our routine and agenda, if we're truly following the disruptive promptings of the Spirit, is going to be disrupted if we are listening and paying attention to what God is doing in the world around us. So for us, you know, in Community of Christ, that for, you know, frankly, a number of decades, we were kind of sleepy when it came to engaging in community and neighborhood. That's a recent phenomena for us of the last several decades of really stepping outside of ourselves and seeking to find God's presence and future in the places where we work and live and go to church. That was a real paradigm shift. And still is. That's still unfolding in the life of the church in the Western world.
Yeah, for sure. And as you were describing that, it reminded me of the stories that I've heard about the early days of seeker ministry in Utah and other heavily Mormon populations, where the inquiry was just naturally flowing in and the church's response was just that. It was a response. It wasn't, okay, we're going to go intentionally try to plant a group in Utah or anything. It was created out of a response, or of an inquiry that turned into a response, that the church intentionally said, yes, we'll place people there. We'll sit in homes and we will listen and we will go to conferences and learn about your culture, and then present to you the answers to the questions that you have about us. And I think that that is a different way to look at mission. But also it's scary. So, I mean, I know that, you know, some people, we can blame it on being busy, being very present in our neighborhoods or in our communities, et cetera. But I think also with that, it's just terrifying, and it takes a certain level of vulnerability. And, you know, you don't know if this time and effort that you're putting in is going to turn up anything useful or fruitful or anything. So,
Well, that's part of the paradigm shift, is that we're being called to engage with people without an agenda. If we have an agenda, it is that one of our most foundational, enduring principles is the worth of persons. And that means that we have a love for people, to be with people, to want to be in relationship with people. And that's a paradigm shift from traditional evangelism, where people are targeted. In many ways, people are kind of objects of, frankly, manipulation, which is how many people view Western evangelism. And it's really about cultivating the soil. I love the parable of the sower. And the focus in the parable also on the good soil, and really how that calls us as disciples and leaders to cultivate this rich, deep, relational, receptive space for the Spirit to do its transformative work in the midst of the relationship. So it's not just mission to someone else, it's mission with, because in the process of that encounter, both of our lives are changed. And we begin to see ourselves and others, you know, from a changed perspective. And and also, you know, 164 also, you know, has this beautiful admonition to us that when your willingness to live in sacred community as Christ's new creation exceeds your natural fear of spiritual and relational transformation, you will become who you are called to be. If there's any passage I could point to say, you know, this is what we're trying to do in LCM, I would say it's that passage right there. It's 164:9b, I believe. And it's being willing to be vulnerable. It's you know, recognizing that we are not in control here of the agenda. God is in control of the agenda. And that's why the mission prayer starts out with, God, where will your spirit lead today? Help me be fully awake and ready to respond. It's a recognition that, you know, we are participants in God's mission. We are not driving the outcome. So it's a really, it's a reorientation. And in the modern world with, you know, strategic planning and individualism, and I'm the master of my own fate. You know, I have to admit at times that I find myself wanting to gravitate back toward having the plan and having everything in place. And yeah, there is a place for planning and organization, absolutely. But it's in response to what the Spirit is seeking to do in our midst. And actually, that's one of the reasons why, you know, Katie Harmon McLaughlin, spiritual formation specialist for Community of Christ, Katie's also been a very important resource and asset to the Leading Congregations and Mission team, because this whole process is built on a foundation of spiritual formation. The first principle of LCM is mission begins with encounter. That's where we, for the first time, experience new life in Christ and see ourselves and others from a changed perspective. So lots of people have been just really helpful in continuing to help us envision what this looks like.
Well, and I have to say that I love that you brought up Katie, because as you were talking, I thought, this sounds like spiritual formation on a very macro level, on a level that is for the church as a whole, not necessarily individual spiritual, obviously it would include individual spiritual practices, but as a broad movement, as a broad, like you said, paradigm shift, it's like the whole church is going through spiritual formation. So, I'm glad you brought up that connection. So how, I guess, have you seen individuals or congregations changed by these concepts?
Yeah, you know, it's been different in different places, Brittany. We've for some the practices that we've introduced in LCM have been the most formational. I had a pastor recently stand up in a retreat that said I had to stop praying the mission prayer because I was having so many interruptions in my day, wasn't getting anything done. But you know, I love that. I love that story. I think for some people that had a perspective on what they thought spiritual formation was, I think LCM has opened up some new understandings that there is a connection between spiritual formation and real life. There's a connection between spiritual formation and mission. In fact, you know, in Community of Christ, theologically, everything to us is spiritual. So really, the idea of starting with a foundation of spiritual formation and living our lives fully awake and present to the reality of God in the world, God expressed in one another, God expressed through creation, that should not be a foreign idea to us. But in the Western world, as you know, I mean, we live in a very segmented society. And part of what we've been trying to do in LCM is to say, you know, the whole vision of incarnational mission or the living word becoming flesh and tangible is about living a fully integrated life in community, that is the ultimate, you know, vision. Section 164:5 towards the end of that paragraph says, you know, through the gospel of Christ, a new community of tolerance, reconciliation, unity, and diversity, and love is being born as a visible sign of the coming reign of God. And this idea that we are being called to express in tangible ways in community what the gospel looks like and feels like so others can encounter it in their lives and experience the gospel is really kind of at the heart of, you know, what we've been trying to explore through Leading Congregations and Missions. So for some, it's been the practices. For others, the pastor leadership team concept was transformational. Actually coming together, we asked pastor leadership teams to come together once a month. And one of the things we asked them to do, which in the beginning, some people just kind of gasped when they heard this, was we said, we would like you to spend as much time in community building and a spiritual practice like dwelling in the Word as you spend working through your agenda of items you want to talk about. So if you spend an hour on your agenda, we would like to hold up that we'd like you to spend the first hour of your time building community, being in relationship with each other, and engaging in practices that ground you in the reality of God. And if you do that, your second hour will look different when you're processing through your agenda. And you know, the thing is, for some congregations, that was absolutely transformational, and people have shared testimonies about how they have developed sacred and safe space in those pastor leadership team meetings, and just how meaningful and transformative that has been, and how that's beginning to spill into the congregation and relationships that they're sharing with others in the congregation. So some people, the videos, you know, there'd be something in a video. You know, for some people, it'd be like retreat four, and they'd see a video and they're like, oh my gosh, it's just clicked for me what this is all about, you know. And there was a woman that stood up in one of our retreats that was in her middle 70s, and she said, I have never invited anyone to come to church, but she said, I am so excited about the level of dialogue and community that is now taking place in my congregation that I have for the first time invited my neighbors to come and be a part of what I am experiencing. So, you know, as many stories as I can share with you like that, I can also share with you stories where congregations have struggled, you know, to grasp onto the concepts. But, you know, the practices have been really foundational, I think, in LCM, and the pastor leadership team model about how we come together as leaders to discern and lead mission together and build a community have been really foundational ideas, LCM.
Have you had a lot of smaller groups or smaller congregations that have maybe lost their sense of steam or who haven't felt connected to World Church? Have you worked with any of those people? I know that kind of there's a common thread that I've seen among people with working with seekers. If they go to a congregation and it's very small, that sometimes people in congregations that are like that can just see themselves as, you know, what do we have to offer? And we're so small and other congregations are flourishing, but we're down to 12 people, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So how has LCM encountered those attitudes, and what has the response been from LCM and then from the people that have participated?
Yeah, that's a great question. And yes, we actually, interestingly, the majority of congregations in LCM are small congregations. Okay. And interestingly, larger congregations have had a more difficult time, what I would say, embracing the concepts of LCM. You know, one of the things we said in the beginning of LCM, it's about slowing down. It's about paying attention. It's about being attentive to one another and the spirit. It's really about life in the spirit and community and being open to where that leads as we discover our contexts around us in relationship with our neighbors. It's really about a different way of living. And a lot of large congregations kind of operate like machines, you know. They've got their processes down. There's people that do this function. They do the bulletin. This group over here does worship. These folks over here are focused on outreach. And a lot of times it's kind of hard to break into that flow with leading congregations and mission. It's really calling us to a more, what I would call a deeply relational, organic form of Christian community than what I would call a more highly structured, kind of high church model of the church. And so smaller congregations actually have actually found hope in this. Those that have really, I would say, explored the concepts and ideas. You know, one of the concepts, for example, in LCM or practices is sharing in the round. And it's a really simple practice. It's about getting together with people over a meal and sharing in meaningful, intentional conversation about our lives. And then once we get used to doing that with folks that we go to church with, it's about then risking that practice with folks in our neighborhood. I mean, this is an ancient practice of hospitality. It's been around for centuries. We just gave it a fancy new name called sharing in the round. And, you know, that practice has been a way that small congregations have come to recognize that the most important thing that happens in Christian community is not a big glitzy service with great music or worship bands. It's not about multimedia technology and all of that, that really the essence of community of Christ is about the blessings of community and how loving invitational community can literally open up something in an individual that causes them to begin to give consideration to not only the possibility of what a relationship with loving community might look like, but also what a relationship with God might look like. And any size group can do that, whether you're three people meeting or six or 10 or 15 or 20. And we have specifically really focused on section 163:1, which basically says community of Christ, your name given as a divine blessing is your identity and calling. If you will discern and embrace its full meaning, you will not only discover your future, you will become a blessing to the whole creation. And then it ends with, do not be afraid to go where it beckons you to go. And so we have identified an essential question that we have invited congregations to explore. And the question is basically, how do we discern, embrace, and risk living into our identity and calling as community of Christ in a changing world? Because we believe that this calls us to the heart of loving invitational Christian community. It's not an invitation to try to mimic the church down the street or to try to be some kind of expression of church that we're not because we have 15 people and we can't do traditional church very well. But the reality is we don't have to do it that way because we're being called into an experience of deep, meaningful community, of sharing with one another, of doing practices together like dwelling in the Word. There's many ways that the living Word can be proclaimed when we gather in community other than a traditional sermon that can be extremely meaningful and that small groups can do very well and have absolutely no hesitation about inviting others into that kind of an experience. So it's a long answer to your question, but it's an important question because small congregations, I think, have really seen a future for themselves in leading congregation and mission because we haven't emphasized an organizational and structural approach to the church. We've emphasized a very organic behavioral expression of the church that centers around a few simple practices that define the essence of what it means to be community of Christ in a changing world.
Thank you. A lot of this reminds me, and I was trying to pull it up just now, and I'm not being successful, but a lot of this reminds me of the president's address that we just had with President Veazey, and this idea that we need to be spiritually awake and ready to respond and to go where God is calling us, even if it is challenging or scary, and if we feel small, or whether we feel personally small or our congregation feels small, or we don't feel like we have a lot to offer,
right,
that this is really a transformative path that we can take and invite people onto it as well.
Absolutely. I keep emphasizing to congregations that any size group can be a loving, invitational expression of community of Christ that can be transformative in the lives of individuals. And when I talk to people that have become a part of community of Christ, I rarely hear people talk about the amazing sermons that they hear on Sunday morning, even though I know there's lots of amazing ones out there. I rarely hear them talk about the fact that we've got the best programs, or that we have the nicest buildings, or the best space for worship. What I hear them talk about is the transformative power of loving community. And I really believe that that is the essence of our calling. Our historic call to seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion envisions this global, interdependent, loving human family. And our congregations can be expressions of that kind of community that literally point the way, you know, toward God's unfolding future. And the beauty of that is that any size group of people can be that if we're willing to let go of some of the traditional form and structure of the church and really ask the question, what is 163.1 calling us to? What does it really mean to be community of Christ in the deepest relational, incarnational way that we can be community in relationship with one another because we belong to one another in Christ? And I just think, I really believe this, Brittany, this idea where 163.1 is calling us, if we will truly embrace it, I believe could be transformational for our movement and for those that we're called to bring ministry to.
I think it can be too. And as you were talking, I just started thinking about my early days with Community of Christ. And I originally went to reunion, so it was not necessarily me walking into a sermon per se. But then I went to church the following week, and we had a small little seeker gathering that was not necessarily a traditional worship format. And we had spiritual practices and sharing. And I think that there is a level of vulnerability that is introduced when we think outside of the box, that wouldn't be there if we just kind of stuck to the script and, did things how we always do. And I really appreciate that you brought in continuing revelation into the conversation, because you're right. As a church, we are challenged to be changing and to be evolving and to grow and to tell the world that God is still speaking. And that has real impact in the life of the church, whether that is at church or whether that's the church in community. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, for us, revelation shouldn't just be a process. It should be a way of life. And revelation, by its very nature, is disruptive. Revelation is not about, confirming our preconceived notions. Revelation is about disrupting us into new understandings and new ways of being disciples and the church in the world today. And the practices, the spiritual practices, and what we call the missional practices are really all intended to open us up to the possibility of what God is trying to reveal right in front of us. And, I just think that is really, really important. And you're right. President Vesey shared about that in his last address to the church. And, you know, he believes deeply in the fact that, as he said, as the words were shared in section 165, we are a spiritual venture. And this is about discovering, you know, what God's Spirit is doing in our midst and allowing ourselves to be shaped by that Spirit and sent by that Spirit in mission. And I think if we remember that, I think our future is very hopeful and very bright.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of this would appeal to millennials, my generation, or people who are unchurched or jaded by church.
Yeah.
Because it's a new radical way to look at church.
I think so. And it's about exploration. It's not about dissemination. So it's not about sit down, let me tell you what to think about the gospel. It's about, hey, we're on this journey and we don't know all the answers. And in fact, there's lots of twists and turns in the journey and unexpected events that occur. But we are having this amazing experience of life in the spirit in community. And we have this deep-rooted hope for the future that comes in our absolute conviction in the reality of God that is active and present in the world. And we trust in that unfolding future. But the reality is we only take one faithful step at a time. And as a prophetic people, we're having to get more comfortable with being settled in our unsettledness because that's the nature of, you know, the prophetic impulse. Is it calls us into insights and into places that are unfamiliar, often places we probably never would have gone on our own.
Exactly. So I also know that some people do like a formula. They like to be able to point to something and say, okay, this ties back to A, B, and C. I guess one easy thing that we can point back to would be the mission initiatives or the enduring principles.
Yes.
So, I mean, are those implemented in LCM for people who might want to categorize things a little bit more and not necessarily be as freewheeling with the spirit?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the principles of LCM is that, you know, Luke 4:18 and 19 for us is kind of the ultimate expression of Christ's mission that are expressed in our mission initiatives, particularly the first three mission initiatives: invite people to Christ, abolish poverty and suffering, and pursue peace on earth. But those three mission initiatives really kind of fall under this umbrella of a phrase that President Vesey used in his 2005 World Conference sermon, share the peace of Jesus Christ. It's about how we receive, embody, and share all the dimensions of Christ's peace in the lives of other people that incorporate those first three mission initiatives in particular. And, you know, when I enter into a relationship with someone, I really don't know. I don't normally go into a relationship thinking I'm going to abolish poverty here or, you know, I'm going to pursue peace here. I mean, sometimes, you know, because you're called into a specific situation where there's a need. But oftentimes when we enter and risk new relationships with people and we follow those nudgings of the Spirit to risk a conversation or even a glance that may lead to a conversation, we don't know how we will be called to be the peace of Jesus Christ in the midst of that relationship. And so those mission initiatives are definitely there as you know, guidance for the ways that we tangibly express Christ's mission in the world. LCM says to us, we never really know for sure when we enter a relationship or when we are awake to the reality of the spirit around us, where that might lead us and how we might be called to be the peace of Jesus Christ through one of those mission initiatives. So, yeah, those are definitely there, as well as, you know, the enduring principles are just the principles and concepts of LCM, frankly, are kind of oozing with the enduring principles, even though, you know, we may not name them after, you know, every concept or every idea we express in leading congregations and mission. The other thing I would say, too, just is that after each retreat, we have given congregations a variety of next steps that they can take. So we've been careful not to be prescriptive to say, okay, now you've gone to this retreat and this is exactly what you need to do. What we've said is, depending on where your congregation is at and your pastor leadership team, here is kind of a spectrum of different steps that you might take. You know your congregation best. You know what the Spirit is doing in your midst, in your congregation, your neighborhood. And so you discern which of these next steps make the most sense for you. So there is structure there, but it's not maybe as prescriptive as maybe sometimes our approaches have been in the past.
I like that, because I think that that's kind of the whole point, is letting the Spirit breathe and letting groups, individuals go where God is calling us to go. So it's not going to look in Salt Lake, it's not going to look the same as it looks in Philadelphia or wherever. So I like that it's adaptable and moldable.
You know, and I think there's one other really important thing that we've shared with folks in LCM that I hope, you know, that they've really remembered. And that is that, and I really deeply believe this, we have everything we need in our local congregations to be the people that God is calling us to be. We really don't need programs from the outside. We don't need an expert to come in and tell us what to do. If we engage in those practices that frankly have sustained and at times have helped the Christian community to find new ways to express the message and mission of Christ in different generations, if we trust in those practices that lead us into relationship with God and one another, we are going to discover our future in partnership with God. And everything we have, we need, we already have in the local congregation. We just have to believe in ourselves and that we're being called to be the people of God in the places where we serve like no one else can. Because when we come together as congregations, it's this amazing, unique collection of gifts and abilities and aspirations and hopes that all come together into sacred community and create this very unique and tangible expression of Christ's love and ministry in community. And it's amazing. And we just have to step back and rediscover that and what that can really mean for us.
Well, I think this is a concept that we learn as individuals, that we don't have to pattern our own individual ministry or personality or career path or et cetera, after one particular person. But this idea that our communities don't have to do that either. So if you see,
you know,
the fancy mega church on the corner with all these fantastic programs and resources and everything, if that works for that group, great. But we don't have to give up because we can't offer that, or we don't have to be envious or just completely give up, that God has something for us to do that's unique for us, and that the missional experience will be born out of our giftedness, I think is something that's really important to keep in mind on an individual level as well as a community level.
Yep, absolutely. You said it well.
Well, I'm still trying to figure it out. To live it out in my own life. So.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other reality, and this is something else we talk about in Leading Congregations of Mission, we are living in this amazing time of transition where there's tremendous shifts in the religious and cultural landscape that are occurring. And honestly, you know, some have compared it to the time of the Great Reformation, this time that we're going through right now. And we are in the process of discovering, along with God and one another, what it's going to look like to be a meaningful and relevant expression of Christian community in a changing time. And that involves experimentation. It involves openness, flexibility, adaptability. And like you said, it's going to look different in different places. Depending on the gifts and abilities and sense of call of the people that come together, in the name of Christ, you know, in community.
Yeah. It's overwhelming for me a little bit, but it's really exciting. It's actually really exciting. And I'm surrounded by a lot of people and in communication with a lot of people that are, that just feel really rejected by religion and thus God. But this idea that we can rethink how we have these conversations and that it all comes back to relationship, I think is really powerful. And it might be a lesson that a lot of Christianity or Christians have forgotten. So I love that it's coming back in a huge radical way within our little church.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been a divinely led journey we've been on. I mean, I deeply believe this, you know, leading congregations and mission has evolved out of lots of experiences that have converged in this particular kind of project and experiment. Lots of people have influenced me, authors and people that I've shared with, you know, and, you know, I think about things like Latter-day Seeker Ministry and how that's been a divine convergence of the particular journey the Community of Christ has been on and where, you know, folks find themselves that have, you know, struggled with, at times the direction, of their faith movement and are asking the question, what does it mean to reconstruct a meaningful faith experience? And can I find a spiritual home to do that? And the questions that they're asking are converging with the kind of, you know, expression of Christ's community that Community of Christ is being called into at this juncture, which also happens to be very relevant to this huge group of people out there called the spiritual but not religious, who are also sensing these deep longings for meaning and connection, but are absolutely convinced that they will not find it in the institutional church. But what does it look like for a denomination called Community of Christ that is being called now to live out this deeply relational expression of, you know, Christ's message and mission in ways that open up for people new possibilities of not only the universal nature of Christ and Christ's love, but the universal nature and inclusion of what Christian community was always intended to look like, so that they really, frankly, get reintroduced to both Christ and to the church as though they've met them for the first time. And I really believe that that's what our call is as Community of Christ. And we're still trying to envision that. We're still trying to grasp onto that, to embrace it. It's like we see fragments of vision here and there. And at times it's like, you know, we see it and we're like, that's it. You know, and other times we're struggling and grasping to understand what that really means and how does that really get lived out. And I think that's because God's revelation is always several steps ahead of where we are. And we just kind of take it one step at a time.
Yeah, you just described my experience with Community of Christ quite well. And it's interesting to be where I'm at now, where I'm starting to help people who are questioning and interested and showing up at my congregation. And I sometimes want to fall back on, okay, well, what's a resource we can give them? Or what's, you know, an author we can shoot their way? Or, and those things are good and they have that place. But I have found myself I've almost forgotten about how I loved how the Spirit breathed in community. And I find myself trying to stuff it back in a box, which there's a lot of irony there. So I think my point is that these things are, it's not like, okay, well, I've got it. Here we go. And you can just go on your life thinking that you always have it. Because again, that goes against the concept of having openness and continuing revelation. And like you said, living revelation and, just being open to where God is going to disrupt your life because it's going to look differently in different contexts. So
absolutely.
This is all really great stuff.
Yeah, it's a little unsettling, but it's yeah. if you're looking for a movement that's, you know, going to give you this totally defined construct for exactly how you need to think and how everything is going to play out, Community of Christ is probably not. that place. But it is honestly, it is really invigorating and exciting. And you know, the thing about it is that we're not called to go on that kind of a journey alone. It's the joy, the absolute, just unfathomable joy is in taking the journey together. And you know, I think that's, you know, that is really the message of Christ, right? Emmanuel, God with us. And so how are we then that to other people? How are we the incarnation of Christ's love and peace and hope and possibility, in the lives of others, in ways that they experience that relationship in a way that, you know, literally, changes the way they see themselves, others, and the world around them. And that is pretty amazing.
It is. One thought I just had, and I hope this isn't straying too far off topic, but I wish that we had better documentation of what the early days of the restoration and the reorganization were like. Because I can imagine in some of those meetings, especially after the bulk of the saints went west and those who were left behind and tried to figure out, okay, now how do we be the church?
Exactly.
I bet they were having similar conversations of what does it look like to be in the church in these communities that are not thinking that we're the greatest people right now. there's animosity there. There's, I just get, it's fascinating that really we're talking about these being new things, but I think these conversations have been happening since the beginning of the church and the beginning of Christianity. But
absolutely. There's been numerous times where change has been so disruptive, and that literally the rules of the game change and you have to find a way to navigate totally new space. It's kind of like, where you're walking through the woods and you think you recognize the path and you come out in a clearing only to realize that you are totally lost and really have no idea where you're going. And that is a fearful feeling. I don't know if you've ever been on a hike like that and have gotten lost. That's happened to me. And it's frightening, you know, to be in unfamiliar space, you know, like the Israelites and their journey into the wilderness. And, you know, all they knew how to do is to make bricks and the women baked bread. And you can't make bricks and you can't bake bread in the wilderness. So in a desert. So what do you do? You know, and they had to learn a whole new way of not only a new way of life, but they had to learn a whole new way of being the people of God in the wilderness. And it was frightening. And we read in the scriptures where, and they were ready to take Moses out, you know, and it's just, it's really challenging. And in those times, and we're going through some of those times right now in the world with uncertainty. People are withdrawing from one another in fear instead of leaning into the future with hope. And, you know, really engaging in relationship with the other and inviting in the stranger. It's in times like that that we really have to say, what is our anchor in a turbulent world? And the answer is the same as it's been throughout the centuries. Our anchor is in our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. And really that kind of has been the essence of what we've been trying to hold up in leading congregations and mission, is this relational view of mission that doesn't lead us into locking into a model of the church that will become outdated in 3 or 4 or 5 years. But it's to say, what does it mean to be the people of God that always are in this mode of discernment, of awakening, of responding to the divine impulse that calls us into new situations and relationships where we'll discover new things about ourselves. And as a result of that, our community and our way of being as disciples is always changing and unfolding and That is the nature of being on the prophetic edge with God. And it's an exciting place to be, but it's also, frankly, a pretty unsettling place to be. And, you know, as much as we talk about the importance and foundation of revelation in the life of the church, it is challenging to live that way. And so that's kind of the reality I think we're facing right now in a changing world, is to really find ourselves anchored into those relationships to provide continuity and depth and help us with a longer term perspective as we walk into the future.
But like you said, we're not doing it alone. It's done in the community. So there's that comfort.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine what it would be like to be on the journey alone and to not have others to share in the joys and the sorrows and the struggles. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why the pastor leadership team idea has been transformational. We had congregations that we thought we might have to close because we could not find an individual that wanted to take on that big burden of being the pastor all by themselves. But when we introduced the idea of a leadership team that could come together as the pastorate of the congregation and share together in the joys and the struggles and the burdens of leadership, that literally made the difference between some congregations being able to continue. So, this idea of community and how we journey together, there's a lot there for us to continue to unfold and unpack that I think will help lead us into the future.
So for people who are listening, if they haven't been introduced to LCM before, whether they're individuals or part of leadership teams in congregations, if they're interested in learning more or participating in LCM, where can we send them?
Well, you can send them to the website, www.missionalleaders.org. We just recently redesigned the website. It's still, you know, somewhat under construction. We're adding new resources all the time. On the front page of Leading Congregations in Mission, or, you know, missionalleaders.org, there are a number of key resources. So if a congregation hasn't been exposed to LCM at all and they'd like to just kind of get an overview, there is a resource on the front page called Initial Steps. If you kind of scroll down that front page a little bit, it's a PDF. You can download it. It's also available in booklet form. If you contact myself or Rob Rakowski, and both of our emails are on the website, we can also get you a hard copy of that booklet. And it's kind of an overview of some of the kind of the high level concepts of LCM, but also some introductory ways to begin to live into those as congregations. There's also right in the front page there's a YLCM video that kind of explores what LCM is and what it's all about. And of course, on the website itself, you can explore all the practices we've used in LCM. They're listed A to Z with a little description of what they're all about, all the resources we've provided in LCM to help congregations. You can go and you can explore those, as well as all the 30 plus videos that have been produced in LCM that, you know, explore the different ideas and concepts and practices of LCM. So I'd say have some fun exploring the website. If anybody would like to talk about that in terms of exploring a way to be more intentionally involved or having some help on the journey, of course, they can always contact their Mission Center president, but they're also welcome to contact myself at rharman@seaofchrist.org or Rob Rakowski. Either one of us are happy to talk. You know, I talk to people from all over the country, get emails, and we always respond. And, you know, this is important, how we continue to explore and experiment with how to be the church in relevant ways in a changing world. So I'm thrilled when I get communication from folks that want to learn more.
And I will say that exploring this website is fun. I found it months and months and months ago, maybe even a year ago, and just started looking at videos randomly. And it was fun because at the time I had no idea of the people who were in the videos, but now, since being with Community of Christ for a few years, I've gotten to know a lot of the people that are having these conversations at the round table, and I recognize voices and faces.
Yeah, so
it's been kind of fun. But it gave me a very good window into who Community of Christ was, and what our congregations could be. And so I know that some people are trying to start up house churches or different emerging groups. I just put in a plug that these resources are pretty phenomenal, and they give a good overview of our identity and who God is calling us to be, in very entertaining, endearing, fun ways. So.
Yeah, we like to have a little bit of fun too. So it's not all work.
Yeah. And it's like we've said, it's just infused with spirituality. And so I did not know much about spiritual practices before Community of Christ. But through LCM resources, I mean, it has opened my world to a lot of different things. So.
Yeah. One thing I'll just mention is, one of our next projects, with Leading Congregations and Mission, is we are working on a resource specifically for what I would call pretty small congregations, definitely congregations 20 and under, that helps them begin to envision different ways of coming together in Christian community other than the traditional Sunday morning experience. And we're doing it through kind of the metaphor of a meal, where everything from when you think about who you're going to invite to your meal, how you're going to extend hospitality to your guests, to the kind of meal that you're going to serve, and what you're going to do after you've left that meal. And we're kind of following that theme through, and there'll be all different types of meal plans, which will be analogous to different ways that we can come together in Christian community and have meaningful fellowship and learning and worship and service that are particularly geared toward the small congregation. So we're really excited about that. We've got a small team that's working on that that was just in retreat here about a month ago, and we're going to be starting to kind of flesh that concept out. And it'll actually be kind of like a recipe box almost, where you can pull out different cards that you could use on a different Sunday that would be a different kind of creative way of being able to come together in Christian community that, you know, you can utilize in a small group, small congregation type experience. So it's kind of taking the LCM one step further and even envisioning that down to a greater level of specificity for the small congregation.
I think that'll be really, really beneficial.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We all of us have several hats we're wearing, and so it's trying to carve out the time to get to some. It's not a problem of seeing, you know, really exciting things that can be done. It's finding the time to come together and really work on those. But so there's exciting things like that on the horizon for LCM.
Awesome. So I guess my final thoughts, or my question for you of what your final thoughts would be, what is your hope for LCM? Do you think that LCM will continue to be relevant and adapt to the missional needs of the day?
You know, I think that LCM is an expression of a broader conversation, which is, what does it look like to be disciples and the church in a changing world? It's responding to 162, 2E in the Doctrine and Covenants that says, again, you're reminded this community was divinely called into being. The spirit of the restoration is not locked in one moment of time, but is instead the call to each generation to witness to essential truths in its own language and form. Let the Spirit breathe. I've had people ask me if we're going to shrink wrap you know, all the things we've done in LCM over the last couple of years and now kind of sell it through Herald House. And my response always has been, LCM is an experiment. And if I could see, you know, it unfolding in the way that I would like to see it unfold for the future, I want to keep leading congregations in mission in experimental mode or research and development mode, if you will. Leading congregations in mission is a pilot project under the direction of the Council of 12. It's a field-based pilot. And I would like to see us continue to explore, to experiment, to try new expressions of mission, to seek new ways to be, you know, loving community in the lives of people that open up new possibilities for them, particularly those who've walked away from the institutional church. So, you know, my hope is that we kind of keep this in entrepreneurial mode and we continue to learn. And, you know, we've never said that LCM is the answer to all your congregation's problems. What we've said is LCM provides you the navigational tools to be God's people in community in a changing world. And so that's my hope. And there'll be other expressions that pop up here and there that my feeling is we should be supporting as many experiments as we can in the Western world to continue to find ways for the essential truths of the gospel to be expressed and lived in new language and form that connects with the deepest longings of people who are seeking for meaning and connection in society today. And so my hope is that we can continue to do that. And it'll be a continual learning process for us, which means, you know, LCM will continue to look different and morph, and maybe someday it won't be called LCM anymore. Maybe someday called something else. But I hope that the concept of having a research and development function of mission, you know, continues for us in terms of, you know, being a really important function of leadership in the life of the church.
I agree. I really appreciate that LCM isn't a prescriptive program that can change and adapt. That's an entire way of being and looking at God and looking at church and looking at community. So, of course, it's going to be around because we're always going to be battling with these questions of how is church relevant? How is God relevant in the world today? How is community relevant? So,
yeah. And I, you know, I think we clearly now live in a time of discontinuous change, and I don't think that's ever going to change. this idea of, you know, where we used to live in these, you know, we go through these times of continuous change where there would be a fairly long period of time where the future was really in many ways just kind of an incremental extension of where we were in the past. And now we're getting hit with waves of discontinuous change that are disorienting and that, you know, they push us into the space of uncertainty and worldviews changing, and it's changing behaviors and attitudes and norms in both religious and cultural life. And I honestly, I think that is going to be the new norm. And I think, you know, once again, it's kind of like we better get settled with being unsettled, because I think that's the space we're going to be in. And so the more navigational tools, you know, it's not about having a map, because a map becomes outdated. It's about having the navigational tools that help us to continually discern along with God what the future will look like in the places we serve. And I think if we can keep that kind of openness and flexibility, our own sacred texts tell us that we will be blessed with new insight and vision, and that will even become a blessing to the whole creation. So that's my hope.
It's a good hope to have, and it's a wild ride to get there, I think.
But yeah,
oh, what's the scripture in Doctrine and Covenants of don't just speak of Zion, but live,
yeah,
love, share.
Live, love, share is Zion.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And we can dance our way through together. It'll be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as I'm dancing with other people, I don't want to see anybody dancing. I don't want anybody to see me dancing alone.
Well, again, this is done in community, so.
That's right. That's right. Thank goodness.
Oh, well, thank you, Ron. This has been awesome. So
yeah, it's been great sharing with you tonight.
Thank you.
The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ. The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com.